Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. My name is Mike and I'm your host. And this week's guest is a person that one of my friends from F3 introduced me to, Funny Car, better known as Bill Pollard. And he texted me and he's like, dude, you've really got to get this person on your podcast because she is doing some amazing things. And so then I got to looking into this person's background. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a rock star. So I'm really excited to be chatting with Martha Wright. Martha, you ready to go for a run?
Yes.
Awesome. It sort of looks like you're always ready to go for a run.
Pretty much.
That is so awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do when you're not out running long distances and all that good stuff, so we can get to know you a little bit.
Well, I am married to a longtime friend of Bill Pollard's. We all grew up together in Petersburg, and he and my husband, Brooke, were good friends. We've been married 24 years and have three children and three grandchildren. And bless his heart, he's a saint because pretty much all that time I've been running marathons and ultras.
That's amazing. Well, I looked and I was like, 24 years, didn't you run JFK the first time 27 years ago?
1997.
That's
I think I
amazing.
did. I think he did go. We were dating and I think he went. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. And that's what started this whole journey. I certainly didn't have this in mind when I started it, but here I am in my 60s, still running ultras and really having a good time.
And not just running ultras, Martha, you're doing really well in an ultras. I mean, you've got a bunch of age group top three finishes and really amazing times in some of your races. So you're not just running it, you're doing them really, really well at 63.
Yeah, that's been sort of a goal the last few years coming out of the pandemic, and it's really starting to pay off.
Yeah, you can tell you're doing a massive amount of training, but doing it right, because it looks like from your Instagram, I'm gathering that you're doing this injury free, and that might be something. Is that something new with the running, doing this injury free, or?
Well, prior to, say, 2000, I never really followed a strict training plan. I did what I needed to do to get by and also be a mom. So running kind of came second. And I always was able to get in enough miles, but I wasn't super consistent. There were little injuries here and there. Other than a fractured ankle, I didn't have too many serious ones. But then after 2000, I turned 60 and I started thinking this is the time to snag some age group wins. So, and the kids were finally off at college. So I was able to be a lot more consistent with my training. I started going to my son's athletic trainer, and that's really helped a lot. He does all the programming. It's strength and mobility 3 times a week. That's really helped.
That's
And I
awesome.
haven't, other than one little self-inflicted injury in 2021, I haven't had any since then, knock on wood.
That's awesome. That is really awesome. So how did you get started running ultras long, long ago in a land far, far away, but not that far away because you've always been sort of in the Richmond area, right?
Yeah, I was living in Richmond and, you know, I met some running friends, and bad influence that they were, they got me started running marathons. So that was 1995 and 96. And then some of my friends had been running this race called JFK. And I just decided, well, if I can be on my feet all day, I could probably go do that too. And so that was 1997. And that's what started it all.
It's amazing. So what did you think the first time you got out on that course? Because that's a great course.
I didn't go back for a long time, but the last few years when I've been back, I try to remember, like if I can even remember 1997,
Right, yeah.
because I had no idea what I was doing. I had never run on a trail before. I'd never done anything beyond a marathon, and I really don't have too many memories of it. I know there was one good friend who we got together the last 8 miles of JFK, and he kept me going telephone pole to telephone pole.
Yep.
But yeah, I was a fast road runner back then, so I put up a good time that year. And then I went back in 98, and then I took a few years off to have two more boys. Well, two boys. And then I kind of got started again around 2005. But I
Okay.
didn't go back to JFK until 2022.
Wow. Wow, that's a long time between JFKs. It had to have been different because, I mean, 1997, there were a lot of people in the race, but nowhere near the amount of finishers as like 2022, right?
I can't really remember. It's always been one of the bigger ultras.
Right.
They've always been able to, because of their course, they can let in a fair number of people. So they usually have 700 to 1,000. And I think
Okay.
this year was one of the highest. It was over 1,000
Oh, that
finishers.
was crazy this year. Wow. I watched some of it, kind of watching part of the live stream because I was actually doing some other things. And so I wasn't able to catch the whole thing, but I was blown away by how many people started that race. That was incredible.
Yeah, and
I
it's a
ran it
mass.
COVID year in November of 2020,
Oh.
and we started in waves. So you never really knew where you were because you started with a group and it was by what your times and previous 50 milers were. And this was my first 50 miler on the East Coast. And so I was totally not used to, it's a totally different animal running on the East Coast versus in the West. And so I was actually in a pretty fast group and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm with a bunch of sprinters. But yeah, it was crazy being in the waves because you had 10 minutes between waves. And so you didn't really see anybody else. It was really weird.
Yeah, that would be weird. Although, JFK only uses gun time.
Right.
So, yeah, and I'm not willing to push up to the front, so
Right.
maybe
Yeah,
that
no
cost me
kidding.
30 seconds.
Well, I don't know. This year probably cost over a minute because that was, I watched the start and that was crazy. I was like, because I always go to the back. I was like, well, I would have been starting about 5 minutes after the zoomies. So that
Yeah.
was crazy. But yeah, heck of a race this year. So how, what did you think of the race this year?
It was good. The weather was good because it wasn't freezing cold, but it was windy all day.
Okay.
And the wind just felt like it was coming from different directions. So that might have hurt a little, but I was super happy because I took 15 minutes off of my towpath time, which is that
Wow.
26-mile stretch on the towpath. But then I realized I added 12 minutes to my Appalachian Trail section.
Okay.
So I came out 3 to 4 minutes ahead over last year, which I was very happy about.
Awesome.
But
And
I
what
might
was your
have
time
to
this year?
9:39:50.
That is a fantastic time. And what were you second or third in your age group?
First.
First, oh, you were first in your age group.
Yeah,
Oh my
yeah.
gosh, that's phenomenal. That had to
By,
feel good.
well, it was like by 2 hours. So,
Wow. Wow. You were first by 2 hours in your age
yeah.
group. Oh my gosh, that's phenomenal. Let's talk a little bit about this year because you did something that you're calling the November Project. And I'm blown away by what you did in November. So tell us a little bit about Martha's racing November here in 2024.
Well, the reason I didn't go back to JFK all those years was because I fell in love with the race called Mountain Masochist 50 Miler, put on by David Horton. And every year I just kept going back to that. It's a great race. But I hadn't run it since 2021. The last few years they've had a lot of course changes. So I ran it in 2021, and then I decided I was going to go back to JFK and try that. Well, this year came around and I looked at the course changes they had done, and I really liked them.
Okay.
So it's like, okay, well, I'll go back to Mountain Masochist this year too, because this year, Masochist and JFK were 3 weeks apart. So I
Right.
thought, perfect. So I signed up for Masochist, and I've also been running this year with the marathon training team in Richmond, which I'd never done that before. I'd always just trained with a small group of friends, and it was great. I felt really tuned up for a road race. So I was just going to do the Richmond half the week before JFK. So it would be Masochist, then a weekend off, then the half, then JFK.
Right.
But I felt so tuned up and the weather was great. I decided just to run the whole marathon. So I
That's so awesome.
had a great I had a good run at Masochist. It was a lot of fun. So many old friends. And then the marathon was great. We had a beautiful day for it this year. I somehow ran my fastest marathon in 26 years.
Oh my gosh, are you serious? That's wild.
Because I've never done this much focused, road marathon training. It was always just
Okay.
kind of slow ultra training. So that paid off. I ran a 3:48.
Oh, wow. Is that a Boston qualifier?
It's by 30 minutes.
Oh, so you should be able to get in.
And I got an invitation to the Abbott World Marathon Majors age group.
Oh, no way. Serious?
So I got that by 2 seconds.
That's awesome. Oh my gosh, Abbott is gonna, are you gonna do it?
I don't know. Next year, so the race I qualify for would be the New York City Marathon next year.
Okay.
So we'll see. I only qualified by 2 seconds. So kind of like Boston, they only have a certain number of slots. So we'll see if I make the cut.
Wow, that would be awesome.
Yeah, and I won my age group at Richmond, which I have not done since 1997.
Are you serious?
So
Wow,
that was fun.
27 years and you won your age group. That's phenomenal, Martha. Wow, what a November.
And then on to JFK the next weekend. I wasn't the only one of my friends. A couple of my friends also did the Richmond JFK double. So I recovered pretty well. So I felt good going into JFK.
That's awesome. You know, you're so in tune. You should just come up and run Devil Dog Ultras this weekend. Just jump into the race, yeah.
This weekend I'll be sitting in the stands watching my son, who's a D3 swimmer in college.
Oh, cool. What college is he at?
He's at Dickinson in
Oh, cool.
Pennsylvania.
Okay. Wow, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Wow, I'm blown away by your November. That's, I mean, Masochist, Richmond Marathon, JFK, all phenomenal races, all difficult races in their own way, and you just crushed them. That's awesome.
Yeah, I had the best training block that I've had in the last 4 years since
Okay.
I've been more consistent and training
That's
like a
awesome.
real runner. So
Yeah.
it really paid off.
That is so amazing. Now, you know, one of the other things I've noticed in here is you've got, how many times have you run Mountain Masochist?
17.
17 times at Mountain Masochist.
Yeah. The first time
Wow.
was 2000.
Okay.
And then I went home and found out the next day that I was pregnant with son number one. So
Okay.
I didn't go back till 2005.
Okay.
But I was pretty consistent after that.
And the other
Yeah,
one that it looks like you've been really consistent with is Holiday Lake.
13 Holiday Lakes. The other one with the most finishes is probably Promised Land
Yep, I was
50K.
going to say that was the next one, was Promised Land. Looks like it's got to be up there also.
So that's 17 finishes too.
That's awesome. So 17 Promised Land, 17 Mountain Masochist, 13 Holiday Lakes, and is there anything else that's up there in that kind of
There
scale?
was 10 Terrapin Mountain
Okay.
50Ks
Okay.
and now 5 JFKs.
That's awesome. Cool. You'll have to come back and
Yes.
run Terrapin again. That's the my buddy Brian is the race director of that one now.
Oh, he is? Okay. I
Yeah.
haven't run it since Clark was the race director.
Yeah, Brian, I went up last year and volunteered and helped Brian out, and he puts everything he has into it. He's a phenomenal, phenomenal race director. I think if people want to come experience a phenomenal race, Terrapin Mountain with Brian as race director is top notch.
Yeah, it's a great race. And the
Yeah.
two distances they offer, that's really great because people can get all the challenging sections, just by doing the half marathon.
Exactly. Now, so people don't think that, you stop at 50 miles. You do have finishes that are further than 50, don't you?
So a few hundred Ks in 2021 when I was ramping back up, because I didn't do much during the pandemic. There was a lot of
Right.
family stuff to take care of.
Okay. Yeah, I can imagine with kids and everything, that was an adventurous time.
Sophie Spidell, who's a runner from Charlottesville around my age, we've been running against each other for a long, long time. David Horton's really good about keeping age group records. So
Okay.
Sophie said, you need to go for the 60 plus record at Hellgate 100K.
Yeah,
So that
which is
was my
such an easy race. Oh,
Yeah. I
sorry.
had DNF'd it in 2006.
Okay.
Mainly, I think from it was really cold, really cold, and
Right.
inexperience. So I went back in 2009 and I finished it. And then I thought, I never have to go back again. And then all of a sudden it's 2021. And it's like, okay, I'll go back to Hellgate. So I went back that year and Sophie met me at mile, I think 47, and ran in with me, and I got the woman's 60 plus course record.
That's awesome.
And then 2 years later, Sophie ran it and took the record away from me.
So now you have to run it
But yeah,
again.
but that was kind of our understanding.
Okay.
I still can't get ahead of her, but I'm trying.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she had a great run last year. I don't know if I'll go back again. It Hellgate's I think I'm trained for it. I'm just a little bit wary of the Hellgate weather. You never know what you're
Yes.
gonna get.
Yeah. That's what I've watched. It's like, wow, the weather in that thing is just insane. They named it right though. So
And David Horton is still the race director for that. And it's a great race. It's going to be an amazing race this year. They've got a lot of big names.
yep. It's I think it's one to watch this year. I actually think there could be some records set this year, so
The weather looks pretty good, so I don't think they're going to have anything crazy.
we'll see. That'll be wild. So, how many ultra races do you think you have under your belt?
Well, I have a spreadsheet,
Okay,
so
cool.
I've kept track. 106
That's awesome.
and
Wow.
34 marathons.
That is phenomenal. That wow. I thought I ran a lot, but yeah, you've definitely got me way beat. I have the same thing. I have a spreadsheet also, so but I'm only at 62, so I got a lot of catching up to do.
Well, that was never my goal to rack up all these races, but there were just, a certain number of them I would do most years, and it's kind of just like my little hobby. And I was a stay-at-home mom all those years, and it was just a little bit of time for me to get away and do my own thing and recharge my battery and then come back to being mom.
Yeah. So do you feel like the running is it a release for you? Is it or is it more of a joy? 'Cause I kind of am gathering running is like that peaceful place where you kind of recenter yourself.
Yes, I think so. I mean, my goal is just to have fun. I'm never out there pushing myself. I mean, I'm pushing, but I'm not making myself miserable.
Right.
And the whole time I'm racing, I'm telling myself, stay positive, stay happy, be encouraging. For me, I just want it to be fun. And
Well, and
it's
that's one of
social
the things
too.
I noticed, looking at your Instagram that you sent me, and thank you very, very much for sending that to me. But I just noticed that, like the race pictures of you, you always have a smile on your face, and you know, there's always somebody around you, and it looks like you're engaged with people during the race and everything. I very much look forward to watching you race because I'm like, you got to be a delight to be around in the race because you always look like you're having fun.
Yeah, definitely. And going back to so many of David Horton's races on repeat all these years, you see a lot of the same people, so just made a lot of friends. And then every race you meet new people, and it's fun to see them, if they're tackling their first ultra, take it on. And you just realize people come from so many different backgrounds and so many different methods of training, and it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. So, what is it about the ultra running community that you enjoy the most?
I would just say probably the shared challenge that we have that in common. So you can meet someone that maybe you wouldn't have stuff in common with, in real life, but when you're out there on the trail, you can chat and you can just share the experience.
That's awesome. That's amazing. So, what's your favorite race, or do you have a favorite race?
Probably Promised Land.
Okay.
It's a great time of year in April. The course is amazing. They've been able to have it all these years without ever having to change the course. Springtime's coming to the mountains, and it has a really challenging section about mile 22 where you have to climb up by a waterfall. It
Yeah.
takes me over an hour to do that section, and it's all just climbing.
Yeah, and it's only like 3 or 4 miles, isn't it? Total.
That section, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, but you literally almost are rock climbing, aren't you?
A few parts of it, yeah, where you're really taking some big steps on
Yep.
rocks, but
Yeah.
mostly it's just uphill.
Is the downhill after that, do you find that difficult? Because I thought the downhill after the big climb was kind of sketch.
You mean that final downhill?
Yeah.
Down the road back to
Yeah.
the camp. Yeah, I never know how that's gonna go.
Okay.
Some years it's like, oh, I can run, and other years it's like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna cramp and seize up, and other years it's like it's really hot because I'm back
Yep.
on this road and it's the middle of the day.
And it's wide open and there's no cover. You're like, it seems like most of the race, most of the Promised Land race, there's a little bit of cover. I mean, there's not a lot of leaves on the tree, but there's still, some cover and stuff. But that last section just seems like, man, the sun is baking on you, and that's not the easiest downhill in the world, I don't think.
No, it's not. It's kind of rocky up at the top, and it's tough, but at least you're going downhill. So like last
Exactly.
year I got to the popped out of the woods at the top of that, and I was switching my water bottles and I accidentally dumped out all my water.
Oh no.
It's like, well, at least it's downhill.
Oh my God.
I
With
guess
no
I'll
water.
just
That's awesome.
yeah I'll have to do these last 3 miles with no water.
Yeah. Well, at least it was only 3 and downhill, so not as bad as it could have been, right? Okay, so Promised Land favorite race. Do you have a least favorite race, or it seems like you've liked them all.
Pretty much. Probably just, some of the weather I've had to run in over the years
Right.
has been challenging. But I'm definitely a fair weather runner.
Okay.
If it's snowing or raining on race day, I'll get out there, but I won't enjoy it quite as much.
You're gonna slug it out. So what's like the sketchiest weather that you've run a race in?
I know there was a holiday lake where it was actually snowing, and this was a long time ago, and it was like a wet snow. So it just
Okay.
made you wet and cold. I could not feel my fingers. Yeah, I had to get people to help me open gels. And then there was that first time I tried Hellgate, the temperature was like 15 degrees at the
Oh my
start.
goodness.
Just freezing cold.
Yeah.
And then there's the holiday lake where we had to run through like 8 inches of snow on the ground.
Yeah. Did you
And
run
all
the
the
year where it was so iced up that a lot of people actually didn't make it in?
No, fortunately, I did was not there that year.
It was the first year I volunteered, and I had slept in my van the night before, and so Brent came up and he's like, "Hey, I need you to go with me, and we gotta set up the aid station." I was like, "Okay," I was, gonna go there anyway and work with him. He said, "Well, they can't get in right now," so he said, "You're gonna run the aid station until the rest of the people get there." I was like,
Oh my gosh.
okay, that'll be fun. So we had like two tables, as much food as he could find, nothing hot, and the runners come running in. Well, not really running in, come sliding in, and oh my gosh, that was a crazy year. That was nuts. So
Ooh, they were lucky you were there. Yeah, after
yeah,
one of those
because
snow years.
nobody was driving in, man. That was crazy. So
Yep.
yeah.
After one of those snow years, I said, I am always staying at the camp the night before. I'm never driving in the
Yeah.
same day again.
Yeah, that place in the winter can be very, very interesting. So, yeah, neat. So, what does 2025 look like for you?
So far, no Holiday Lake. Again, I'll be sitting in the stands for 4 days watching the D3 swim championship.
Okay.
Conference championship, but I'm going to run Shamrock Marathon again in
Oh, cool.
March.
Okay. And how many times have you run Shamrock? Because you've done that a bunch of times too, haven't you?
I took like a 20-year break on that one too, but probably six or so times.
Okay.
So run Shamrock and then Promised Land, and then I'm not sure about the summer yet. We'll
Okay.
see. And then I'll decide next fall about either New York City Marathon or Mountain Masochist again, and then JFK again.
Oh, cool. Okay. Going back to JFK again. Now,
I want to see if
will
I
you go
can.
run Boston? I mean, since you qualified?
Probably not, because it conflicts with Promised Land.
That's what I
And
was thinking. Yeah.
I'm trying to get to 20 finishes
Okay.
for Promised
Is there
Land.
anybody that has 20 finishes at Promised Line?
Yes, there's at least one guy, and maybe more. I've lost track.
Okay. That's crazy. And
So,
who has the most mountain masochist finishes? You've got to be up there in the in
oh,
that.
there is a guy named Jeff McGonnell, and he's in the 30s.
No
He's like,
way.
somehow he has gotten there like almost every single year. He was there this
Wow.
year.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he's
30?
another, 30 something. I
That's
don't know if this year
amazing.
might have been 35. Yeah, he's very prolific ultra runner.
Okay. Wow. That's nuts. I can't think of anybody I know in my circle of friends that has run the same race 30 times.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm like almost speechless, which I'm not supposed to be, and that's crazy. That's amazing. I just like try I'm doing the math in my head and sitting there going, "Wow." That's crazy. But I mean, I guess durability seems like the thing that has kept you going the most. I mean, with 106 ultra finishes, 34 marathon finishes, the durability has to be something that you've got to be proud of that.
Well, I must have done something right all these years. I know one thing I never did. I never overtrained.
Okay.
I would look at my mileage, and it was always a lot less than what other ultra runners were doing. Now I'm running more miles just because it's easier to be more consistent.
Right.
But
So
I
what
think
would you say, what's like your highest training mileage in a year?
It was last year, 2400,
Okay.
I
Okay.
think. Yeah.
And then how many race miles did you have last year?
A lot. I'm not
Okay.
sure. Yeah, but again, I probably did six ultras last year
Okay.
too.
Cool.
So, and I got a 50K PR last year, not in 2023, a
Okay.
50K PR on the Highbridge Trail in Farmville.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's the one where you, is that, did you do that in like 5 hours or something?
So it was the one they have in the fall, which unfortunately they're not having it anymore, called the High Bridge Ultra. And yeah, I did that in 501, and that was 50K PR.
Wow. That's
So,
phenomenal. And
but yeah,
were you third female at that?
that one, I think I was third female.
Because that's a
Yeah, and then
501's a fast time.
and at Night Train, I've been second and third. That's another
Okay.
50K on the High Bridge Trail.
Cool.
So just kind of testing out and seeing what I can do. But I joke that I'm pulling all the levers, you know,
Okay.
trying to. So I'm doing the strength training and I'm doing some mobility work and I'm eating all the protein and trying to get good sleep and following a training plan, but I don't have a coach.
Okay.
I'm using the training plan off the Swap Running website,
Okay.
David
Yep.
and Megan Roche. Yeah. And it was really good. And I'm, you know, have enough experience that I can move the days around to fit my
Yeah.
schedule and what I need to do that day. And I know when I need to take a day off.
Okay. So now what do you use for nutrition and hydration?
I've been playing around with that a lot, and I have, but I used to be sort of one of those lower carb runners, but
Okay.
now I'm bumping the fueling amount back up. I use some Yucan, some untapped maple syrup, something called glucose, which is just like straight liquid glucose gel.
Really? Wow.
The occasional goo. Some gluten-free honey stinger waffles, a tailwind. I'm all over the place.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Still playing around. It really is, one of those things that, don't get too settled in on something because your body will say, Just so you've got to stay flexible with it. So when like your strength training and stuff like that, are you doing like weights or are you doing band work or what does your strength training look like?
Both. Kyle is a physical therapist, along with being an athletic trainer. And he has somehow, he just knows what I need. And so my program changes every month. So for the month, I'll have 3 days and I'll just go 3 times a week, you know, and do day one, day two, and day three. It's 2 leg days and one more upper body day.
Okay.
During the last month in November, he took out any heavy lifts, but for this month he's put them back in, so I'll get back to doing squats and deadlift, things like that.
Awesome. But yeah, I love hearing people's training routines and everything because ultras pay off, with the training. Not so much the day of. You better put some stuff in before.
And I know it's hard for people to, you know, make time for the strength training in addition to having time to run, but it really makes a difference. I would say you should give up some miles to get the strength training.
That's a very good tip. If anybody's listening for a tip for durability and ultras, Martha just gave you a really, really valuable one. Maybe pay attention to that one, highlight that one. So that's a great tip, Martha. That's something I think a lot of people forget. Do you have any like go-to mantras when you're out there running?
Well, I was listening to a Peloton meditation once before a race, and I think it was Kristen McGee. And the mantra was positive, confident, energized, and calm.
Wow.
And so that really struck a chord with me, and I add focus onto the end of that because I'm
Okay.
usually running on a trail, and focus is like my number one priority.
Because we don't want to trip over those rocks and roots.
Yes, so that's what I'll say to myself a lot during the race. It's just, and I'll, as I'm saying it, you know, I'll kind of review in my head. Positive. What does positive mean to me right now? You know, confident. What does confident mean right now? Energized, calm, focused.
That's awesome. I like that mantra. And that's a great attitude to have. And now, do you find that repeating those to yourself, whether it's in your head or even out loud, sometimes, do you find like, you're going up a huge climb and you just need something to push? Is that something that helps you make that push up a big hill?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Because you just, sometimes when it's starting to get hard, your brain starts thinking of unhelpful things. So anything you can do to redirect it back to the job at hand and not worry about how much longer you're going to be out here or not worry about how long this climb is, but just keep moving.
So do you try to stay focused like in the mile you're in? I know a lot of people have, different mindsets and everything, but do you stay focused on the mile you're in and not be thinking about all the miles ahead, or what's kind of your best way of staying focused?
Yeah, that's funny that you asked that because that's something I do a lot. It's just I tell myself there is no finish line. There's only the next aid station. And just get to the next aid station and the rest will take care of itself.
So, what is your routine in a race when you hit an aid station? What's your goal? Have you thought of it before you're getting to the aid station? What needs to happen? Or what's kind of your approach?
Yeah, coming into the aid station, I'll have another mantra that goes something like water, shirt, trash. The things I need to remember when I'm there. I typically carry a lot of my own fuel, just as gels and stuff, only in the longer race would I maybe eat some solid food. So I'm gonna try to get in and out pretty fast.
So when you're getting into the aid station, because this is something that a lot of people struggle with, is get into an aid station and you kind of check out mentally and you stay too long. So what would be your number one tip for getting in and out of the aid station quickly?
Yeah, like you were saying, as you're getting closer to it, make a list, make a checklist in your head of what you need to do when you get there.
What does that checklist do for you as you're entering into the aid station?
It keeps you focused so you won't forget, because the worst feeling in the world is running out of an aid station and being even just 20 feet away and realizing you forgot something.
And now, and this is a great tip because you've finished on the podium in big races. And so this is really important for those that are thinking about, okay, how do I up the game and finish on the podium? So your tips on getting in and out of the aid station are huge, Martha, because that's saving at least 2 to 3 minutes every aid station.
Yeah. And if you're going to eat aid station food, know what you like, grab it, and maybe even bring, a baggie with you so you can just grab it and go.
I tell people that all the time. I do a lot of crew chiefing, and I tell people all the time, look, man, you're getting into an uncrewed aid station. You here's your baggie. You don't get to graze, all right? You get to throw it in the baggie and go, because wasting time in an aid station is where a lot of people's races come unglued.
Yeah, and I've never really had a crew at I've only had a crew very few of my races, so I'm pretty self-sufficient and self-reliant, yeah.
I very rarely have a crew of my own. Mainly I crew people like in their first hundreds, or 100 where they just really want to go out and lay down big number. And so I'll go out and crew them, because I tell people I'm weird. I actually like crewing people in these big races more than I like racing big races. And I don't know, that makes me weird, I think.
Yeah, well,
But
that's a special talent.
yeah. But
And
so any desire to run a 100 miler?
well, I did Vermont
Oh my
100 in
gosh, that's a
2000.
huge one.
Yeah, I went in 2010, and it's in July, and unfortunately, even though I managed the heat all day, that evening between mile 70 and 78. It was just one of those evenings where it was still super humid. It didn't really cool off. That's when the wheels came off.
Oh no.
And I went into not heat stroke, but a little mild heat exhaustion.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I ended up, we got to the aid station and I hadn't had a crew, but I did have a pacer at that point.
Okay.
And he and another person's crew, they tried to get me. Put back together, but the wheels had literally come off.
Wow.
So I spent about 3 hours at that aid station on the ground. I think I had a lot of company. It wasn't just me.
Okay.
People were dropping.
Right.
They finally, I was out of the race, and the van came and went back down to the start. And I was fine. It wasn't heat stroke, but it
Right.
was just more than my body could handle. So I went
Yeah.
back the next year. Two really good friends of mine, Ken and John, went with me, and Ken paced me and John crewed for me, and I got it done.
Awesome. Awesome. And it was that a one and done or any desire to do another?
I kind of like to do another, but with family life, it was always easier just to stick to 50K to 50 miles.
Right.
And I joke that, 50 miles is fun. Anything
Yeah.
above 50 miles is not quite so fun.
Yeah. It gets into
So,
suffer mode.
yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. My friends are trying to talk me into doing the Yeti 100 next
Okay.
September.
That'd be a fun one.
Yeah, and it's more runnable. I would definitely pick a more runnable one versus a single track one because that's just my style. I really admire people that take on those, like the grindstone where you're out there for 32 hours or more.
Yeah, they're tough. So this is awesome getting to know you. I can't wait to actually meet you in person because I mean you sound just like an absolutely delightful person, and I'd love to, catch some miles with you sometime. You'd be way faster than me, so they have to be like, at the end or something. You'd have to
Yeah.
come back and greet me or something because yeah, I'm nowhere on your level of quickness. So you're amazing. Longevity. How long do you want to keep on running ultras?
Well, I mean, it's right now just as long as I can. I never thought I'd be here running still as well as I am. So I'm having a lot of fun with it, just like, playing around. Trying different things and just seeing where I can get, can I
Yeah.
drop a little more speed? And I'm feel really good, so we'll just keep going for now.
There you go. So let's go PR. So what's your PR on the marathon?
3:17, early, like 1995.
Okay. And PRs, your 60-mile PR for the marathon, or 60-year-old PR for the marathon.
What, 3:48?
3:48. Okay, so 50K. PR and 60-year-old PR.
So that's one and the same.
Okay.
5:01.
Okay. And 50-miler.
My fastest 50 miler was JFK, the first one, 9:12.
Okay.
So probably the 9:26 I ran at JFK in 2022. That's probably my 60 plus best time.
We're going to bring this to kind of a close, and this is the way we like to wrap up the podcast. So the name of the podcast is Living an Ultra Life. So when you hear that, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
The guy who founded Hard Rock, Ken Klober, I think his name was, he had a saying that, and this is what I would think of when I hear ultralife. His saying was, "You're tougher than you think you are, and you can do more than you think you can."
That's awesome, and it's so true. I think of a lot of people, if they would just realize how tough they are and how much they actually can do if they just refuse to let the world set limits on them. There's a lot of stuff that I can do even into my 60s, where instead of slowing down, the best is still yet to come. I haven't run my best race yet. Yeah. So that's special. And what that does is that tells people, hey, I don't have to slow down as I get older. I can still keep on looking to see what are the things that I can do and how much can I achieve. And you're a
Yeah.
shining example of that, Martha.
And there's nothing to lose. I mean, even if I'm not fast, I'll be fast for my age.
Yeah, that is awesome. Well, Martha, thank you so much for being our guest. It's been just an absolute delight to chat with you.
Thanks. It was great to talk to you.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.